Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Austin Gale is the Associate Director of Content at Pro Football Focus. You can follow him on Twitter at @PFF_AustinGale. And he joins us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Austin, I appreciate the time, man. I know it's a busy day for you. It's been a busy day for you in Indianapolis. How you doing?
Doing great, man. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely, absolutely. Let's start here. I think that Browns fans in general look at the weaknesses on the roster and think that offensive tackle is the biggest weakness and something that has to be addressed with that 10th pick. First, do you agree that tackle is probably their biggest weakness this offseason? And second, do you think it should be tackle or bust with that 10th pick for the Browns?
I think I would agree with that first comment. I do think the biggest weakness on the roster right now is off the tackle, but I would disagree that it has to be addressed at number 10. I do not see any team. I mean, the philosophy really to draft for need is just an outdated philosophy. Drafting the best player available is the strategy to go, and it's something that PFF really does covet. But with the Browns, they're in a fortunate spot. How the draft will probably play out, there will be a very talented offensive tackle likely available at number 10. Maybe it's Jedrick Wills of Alabama, Tristan Wirfs of Iowa, who came in with 3-4-inch arms, passed that threshold to play tackle at the next level. Or Andrew Thomas of Georgia will be there. We're not as high on Mekhi Becton as others, but he's another option there at 10. I think they're in a good spot where best player available will meet need at offensive tackle at number 10.
I'm looking at your draft guide now, and for those that haven't checked it out, it's great. The Pro Football Focus, pff.com/draft guide. As far as that goes, as far as offensive lineman goes, who is your top offensive lineman and why? What stands out so much about them when you look at the grades?
Yeah, right now, according to PFF's latest draft board, Andrew Thomas, the Georgia offensive tackle, is the best offensive tackle and offensive lineman in this draft right now. Came in with 36-inch arms, which is massive length for the offensive tackle position. He's a very athletic off the tackle. That's very important at the position nowadays. 10-yard split is looked at more and more every year at off the tackle. He's going to be a guy that tests very well here in Indianapolis. He's a smooth-moving offensive tackle, still an underclassman. I think he's just scratching the surface on what he can be at the next level. But again, this is a very good group. Like, if you want to go Jedrick Wills there at 10, he's also a freak, an explosive athlete that's really just scratching the surface as well. This is a very good offensive tackle class, a good time to have a need at that position because I think you can really fill it in this class.
Austin Gale is with us, Pro Football Focus. He's joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. I'm James Rapine. Austin, when you look, and let's stick with the offensive tackle spot, is it deep past the top guys? Like, will there be, let's say the Browns don't go tackle at 10. Is there going to be an option, or are there going to be quality options available on day two of the draft?
Oh, man, I wish I could say yes. I think the five best offensive tackles in this class go before pick 20. That includes Andrew Thomas, Tristan Wirfs, Jedrick Wills of Alabama, Mekhi Becton of Louisville, and a fourth guy now. I'm missing him on my head here, but I think there's five good offensive tackles in this class. I'm forgetting the fifth, but all five of those guys, I think, go before pick 20. And then you think about six, maybe Ben Bartsch, the St. John kid, but you're talking day two, day three. This class gets a lot worse after round one. I think this offensive tackle class is very, very top heavy. If you want a guy that can help in the next year or two, you're going to have to pick him inside the first 20 picks.
Austin, when you look at the other, I guess, positions of need, but really it's going to play out to where maybe if Isaiah Simmons falls or maybe a Patrick Queen if the Browns are high on him. Like, I'm looking at potential options outside of tackle in the first round. Who stands out to you as someone that could potentially fall to 10, or maybe if the Browns trade back, they could address outside of the tackle position in the first round?
Yeah, first I want to correct myself. Josh Jones, Houston offensive tackle.
Ah, gotcha.
Number three on PFF's board. Those are the five that we really like. And at number 10, if they aren't going offensive tackle, I think another player that could be there is Derrick Brown of Auburn, if you want to add to the interior defensive line. He's a top 10 player in this class. They could go receiver. I know they're deep at receiver, but I'm telling you, this class is stupid at receiver. Jerry Jeudy of Alabama, CeeDee Lamb of Oklahoma, both guys, Will Tesslow. If you want to swing the bat on one of those guys at 10, I'm not going to get upset. And Isaiah Simmons, if you're looking over that PFF draft guide, there's a player comparison for every single player but Isaiah Simmons, because this dude is an alien. There isn't a player in the NFL right now that's like him. Very rare, very versatile, athletic. I mean, another guy that if he slips to 10 and you don't want to maybe force that knee to tackle, I think you should go Isaiah Simmons and feel very happy about that pick.
Yeah, Austin, and that's why I would, and I've been kind of ranting about this tonight, I would try to address tackle at least to where you're comfortable. So you don't have to go offensive tackle at 10. Because what if an Isaiah Simmons falls, right? What if, and not that I think this is going to happen, what if Jeff Okuda falls? Like, there's such elite talents that if something happens where four quarterbacks go in the top 10, that you don't have to stick with your board and draft for need when a freak, like you said, Isaiah Simmons could potentially fall to you at that 10 spot.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I also think, I mean, at 10, it's a trade-down opportunity. I mean, Baker Mayfield, I still believe in him as a quarterback. PFF was as high on him as anyone else really covering the NFL. And I think we still see him as a franchise quarterback option. And when you don't need a quarterback but are drafting inside the top 10, you are a trade-down target. I think the Browns have a ton of needs still. Even though that offense isn't a good spot, I think defensively there's a lot of players they can add to improve that team. You trade down from that spot. Still get yourself maybe Josh Jones of Houston or Mekhi Becton of Louisville, but then also add picks in the draft to address defense and other needs.
Austin Gale, Pro Football Focus, is with us. Let's look at the Browns roster a little bit, Austin, because I think it's interesting. I think they're certainly in win-now mode despite having a top-10 pick and only winning six games last year. You mentioned Baker Mayfield, and I do want to ask you about him. But some of their upcoming free agents are certainly a topic here in Cleveland. One of the main ones is Joe Schobert, and he's a guy that I think most fans like and want to keep around. I'll ask you, when you guys look at Joe Schobert, is he worth a big money long-term contract, and is he a guy that the Browns and Andrew Berry should keep around long-term?
I would say yes, and largely because off-ball linebacker, it's very hard to find guys that can play well in coverage. Joe Schobert has been consistently a guy that's graded well for us when coverage when healthy. Also, I'll tell you this. I was looking through the data earlier. Limiting yards after the catch at linebacker is probably the most important thing you can do in coverage. You're not going to get a ton of pass breakups, not a ton of interceptions, but you have to limit those plays after the catch. And right now, this past season, Joe Schober ranked first in yards after the catch allowed per reception allowed. And I think that's a big stat for him. He does not miss a ton of tackles. He's always where he should be in coverage. I think that's very valuable in today's NFL. Giving him a monster contract, I feel comfortable with because it's such a rare skill set right now.
Austin, is there a guy or two in general that you like here at the Combine that you expect to stand out and shine during these workouts that's going to rise up draft boards? Any guys that catch your eye or predictions you want to make?
Yeah, absolutely. Jalen Reagor, the TCU wide receiver, showing up at 206 pounds. I mean, it's an absolute stud. I think he's going to get toe-to-toe with Henry Ruggs in the 40-yard dash. Henry Ruggs is about 20 pounds lighter. If Jalen Reagor runs in the 4.2s when he does participate in the 40-yard dash, you're going to be blown away with this kid. He got really screwed in a situation at TCU, playing with a bit of an inaccurate quarterback. His production dropped a bit, but you should be in love with this kid for the skill set he brings to the table. Really happy with what Jalen Reagor does. I think he's going to blow people away at the combine. And while we're on linebacker, let me tell you about a kid named Willie Gay Jr. out of Mississippi State. There's some off-field concerns with him. He battled some suspensions at Mississippi State, fell out of the favor with the coaching staff. But this guy's a freak athletically, really does project as a great coverage linebacker at the next level. I have a source at Mississippi State that says this kid's running the 4.4s at linebacker, a real great athlete that I think is going to rise up boards at the combine, and if he can fix that off-field character concerns get answered, to really be a difference maker in the NFL and picked up on day three.
Yeah, that's interesting. One linebacker that stood out to me, and I think he's going to be rising up draft boards, and we watched LSU all season long, and I'm going to ask you about Joe Burrow in a second, but Patrick Queen. Is that a guy Pro Football Focus is high on? Because I just remember watching LSU, and it seemed like he was all over the field making plays.
Yeah, I think we're not buying into a ton of the hype right now. We do see him as this rangy, athletic, off-ball linebacker that NFL teams covet at that position. I do think he's a bit raw and think can improve, especially when turning his head. You know, if he has to, you know, go find his zone in coverage, I think he needs help there, similar to Kenneth Murray of Oklahoma. Yes, he's a great athlete, but I still really do think he's learning the position, learning to be better from an instinct standpoint. I don't see Kenneth Murray or Patrick Queen as top 20 picks in this class. I know that's maybe a bit of a hot take, but I don't see either of those guys. It's kind of a weak linebacker class after Isaiah Simmons. I think Zach Vaughn, Troy Dye, those guys are intriguing, but again, I would not be a team that forces need at linebacker in this draft.
Well, hopefully, Austin, that Patrick Queen just falls to 42, and then it's a no-brainer for the Browns. Austin Gale, Pro Football Focus, joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. You mentioned Baker earlier and how you guys felt about him before the draft. When you look back on his 2019 season, what did you like? What did you not like? And do you think he could turn it around this year?
Yeah, I mean, it was a significant step back in areas you just don't like to see. I mean, his pocket presence really dropped. And you compare Baker Mayfield to Joe Burrow only because before Joe Burrow, Baker Mayfield has the best single-season PFF passing grade in the college era. That dates back to when we first started grading college in 2014. Then Joe Burrow broke it. But we had concerns about Baker Mayfield's pocket presence. He's a guy that had a bit of a tendency to bail out of clean pockets. But Joe Burrow quite simply doesn't have that. We saw that Baker Mayfield this past season. Accuracy dipped a little bit. But everyone I talk to in the NFL and media really does not see that Freddie Kitchens really supported him and strength, you know, highlighted his strength. I think Baker Mayfield in this new system plays a lot better in 2020. I think he's a bounce-back candidate 100%.
Austin, you mentioned Joe Burrow there a little bit. How do you look at this quarterback class? Because I look at it, and obviously Burrow, you mentioned he had the best quarterback year of anyone you guys have graded. And I'm with you. I mean, we haven't seen anything like that. But I think it's deep in a sense that Tua is probably a top five pick. Justin Herbert looks to me a little bit like Carson Wentz to a degree. And then you got a guy like Jordan Love, who no one really knows, but seems to be an athletic freak. What do you make of this quarterback class?
I think this is a very good quarterback class. The first three guys all have a ton of talent. Joe Burrow is obviously our favorite, everyone's favorite in this class for good reason. He broke PFF records in terms of grading and accuracy percentage. We also really do like Tua Tagovailoa. I think there's a legitimate discussion about how good, I mean, maybe you take Tua if he did not have the injury. I think
Agreed.
Now it's obvious with Joe, but with the injury, you do push him to number two. And Justin Herbert, he's not a top 25 player on PFF's latest big board, but still, ton of arm talent, love the size. And honestly, I think he surprises people at the combine. This guy has some athleticism. This guy has some speed. I see him being used very similarly to Josh Allen in that you get him out, move him a little bit, get his feet working, let that value kind of help your offense. I see that with him and Jordan Love, all the upside in the world, a ton of tools, a ton of great traits, great presence about him here in Indianapolis. Really did love how he approached the press conference this day. I think had a great quote today. People kept asking about that, those 17 interceptions. Someone said, are you tired of talking about him? He said, no, I shouldn't have thrown him. That's a fantastic quote in my opinion. I really do like how Jordan Love has approached this process. Again, a good, deep, quarterback class, and I think a large part of that is because you don't have a ton of inaccurate quarterbacks here. There's some bad decision makers, guys that maybe crumble a bit under pressure, but you don't have inaccurate quarterbacks at the top of this class like we had with Josh Allen and some others in recent classes.
Austin, last thing, and you've been great with your time. When you look at those top four guys, let's say they land in the perfect spot and things go right and they have the right coaches and the right talent around them, who has the highest ceiling?
Yeah, maybe it is Justin Herbert. I'll be honest. I think he might have the highest ceiling. The dude's what? 6'6", 215 pounds. He's bigger than Colin Johnson, the Texas receiver that's coveted for his size. The dude is a monster. All the arm talent in the world. Great between the ears. Highest ceiling, maybe I do tip my cap to Justin Herbert, but I'll tell you this. You give Joe Burrow a perfect situation, this guy's going to thrive at the next level. He has accuracy we haven't seen from a college quarterback. Yes, he's a little bit older, but I really, really do like what Joe Burrow brings to the table. I think those two guys do have the highest ceiling in this class.
He's Austin Gale. Make sure you follow him on Twitter at PFF underscore Austin Gale. And check out all of Pro Football Focus's work at PFF.com. Austin, I appreciate the time. Enjoy Indianapolis. I know the combine's always fun, and I'm sure I'll be bothering you soon.
Of course. Thank you. Call anytime.
Yep. Good stuff there from Austin Gale.